I was just sharing this morning important aspects of sometimes, you know, we are just in the threshold of in the last stage, and you see, we are still under God's grace, and sometimes you wonder why the Lord is still not taking the bride out of this world, because we have come to almost 2000 years of the gospel and the grace period that have been bestowed upon the Gentile world. And while we also see many other, the signs are all taking place, we still wonder why the bride is here. And it is not surprise that some people are already getting impatient of this and moving into wrong doctrines, even to imagine things that the Lord is already here, things like that, errors in the Word of God. But if you really look at yourself and myself, we find still there are lacking in our lives, because Lord wants to see many things in my life, in your life, complete. God has wonderfully given His power to us, and His power in I was sharing Ephesians chapter 6. He says in that chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And I think it is important for us to find out, are we strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? And then he goes down and says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils." And I was going down and explaining one important thing, aspect on verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In this world there are no good news, because there cannot be good news. All the news that you hear is bad. Good news only come from God, because only God is good. And he said, "Let your feet," this is one of the weapons that God has given to us, "let your feet be shod with the gospel of peace." And in this country, I know every day you people here, we hear crying for peace. I think the peace, when the Lord said, "Let your feet," that means you and I cannot move with our feet without peace. And in that case, the peace has to begin in the home. And I know some homes we don't have peace between husband and wife, children and parents. I think that's the peace, beginning of peace. You will never have peace in a country unless you have peace in a home. And that is why, you see, I think it's in the Catholic Church, when they have this normal mass, in between they kind of says, "Now share the peace," they kind of do some sort of a sign between each other, sharing the peace. That's only a symbolically. But I think that's no meaning. But you and I are the ones who need to take peace. And I think when we make sure that our feet is really shod with gospel of peace. And I think when we talk, I think sometimes we are spending too much of time talking unnecessary things. That's why I told, even in the morning of fellowship, let's not stop vain things. Even talk about politics. You see, the people like politicians are governed, are led by the powers of darkness, the principalities of high places. They are not led by God. Unlike you and me, they are not led by the Spirit of God. So you cannot have something good coming from Mr. Prabhakaran or Mr. Mahinda Rajapaksa, because they are people of the world. So knowing about George Bush or any political leader, they have their political agendas. So no point we waste time in discussing and spending time talking about the people of the world. I think we need to look at ourselves, and I think we have spent enough time, you know, if you take our lives, enough time talking about various unnecessary talk. It is time that we focus on the Lord and focus on the word that God has given to us. And if you are going to expect justice from this world, you will never get it. But you don't fail to give justice wherever possible when you have to do it. And that's why it is important for you and me that we, our feet is shod with the gospel of peace. I think you need to bring peace to everybody you talk to, whether he's in office, whether he's unbeliever, whether he's somebody. Make sure that you are an agent of peace of God, not like Eric Solheim, agent of bringing peace, that kind of, no. He's a very genuine, true agent of God that can bring peace to the lives and the families of the people whom you are in contact with. I also want to tell you something this evening. We have a wonderful opportunity of, I was in Singapore, I had opportunity of meeting that brother which we fellowship sometimes, with Richard Gang. He has a fellowship and like-minded fellowship in Singapore. He readily agreed. I suggested, why don't he come here and share with us. He also travels very often to various countries in Africa and in Asia. So he agreed to come in next month, latter part, 24th. So I thought we will have a evening Bible study like this, share his thoughts, because he has a very good teaching ministry. On 24th Friday, 25th Saturday and Sunday, we will have the meetings in the evening. Friday, because everybody is working, we'll start at 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock or 7:30. And Saturday, we will start around 3:30 and go till 7:30. And also Sunday, possibly we'll also start at 3:30, because and we'd want to make full days program, but we felt in the evening it will be better because you have a half day morning for yourself. So let's pray about it. We want to have it here, and I told in advance so that if you have any other arrangements, so that you can reserve the days 24th, 25th, 26th, mainly afternoons and the evenings. So let's pray that the Lord would, in time, I'm sure that the Lord has something special for us through His ministry, because He has written a couple of books as well. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. And let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us this evening for His word. Father, we thank You, Father, for Your goodness, Your loving kindness, Your mercifulness, Lord, gathering all of us together once again in this place. We thank You, Lord, because You are with us, Lord. We bless Your holy name. We magnify You this evening, Father. Open our understanding to Your holy word, Father, so that we will behold the beauty of Thy holiness. We will behold the wonders of the mysteries of Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have taken almost considerable time, period of nearly 6 months, and gone through these seven church ages. And I think we have come to the final age, the seventh church age, where you and I are living. We are going to understand some important divine truths. And I'm telling you, some of the things that you hear would not be heard in a denominational Christian churches, because they are close to this. As I shared with you last Sunday, even at the time of Jesus, when He was bringing forth the message of the hour, when He said the kingdom of God is at hand, when He was bringing forth His message of the hour, the religious order, the religious leaders at that time, at that hour, were closing people from hearing Him. They were telling, this man is blaspheming God. This man is going against the traditional, the law and things that God has given. And they were in fact forbidding people to hear him. So it is in the first stage when Peter, Paul and all the apostles bring in this message. People say, here come the people who turn the world upside down. They have come to upset us also. And for what truth they stood for, they were put into prison. They were beaten. They were put to shame. They were kind of despised, thrown out of the cities. They have to go through so many hard time for the sake of the truth which they presented. And same it was when it is in the every church age. When we explain to you from the first church age to the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, we found there was an element of true people. It is not a majority, it is a minority. Even in the last church age, it is going to be a minority who would seek and go after the truth, who are passionate, who have a hunger and thirst for the truth of God. It is a minority. That is why the Bible says a little flock, a little group of people. It is the desire of the Father to give you the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. He is not talking to many. That is why he says narrow is the way, not many would walk in. Broad is the way, many would go. And therefore this evening, we prayerfully try to understand the important aspect of this age. And as you remember, we just completed the Philadelphian age, the sixth age. And then we go back to this important age. The parable in this age, which is found, the seventh parable, in Matthew 13:47-50. The last parable. Now in this parable, it is mentioned about the kingdom of heaven. Now you remember when you say kingdom of heaven, it refers to the Lord's, the church right here on earth. And it says here, again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Like a fisherman, it is very well known at that time, gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down, gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the unjust, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, sometimes when you say in the scripture the angels, it refers to the messengers. Angels always have a message, and God will send his messengers, means God would also have his own servants who have a specific message to the bride of Christ, which will separate the true from the false. Now here in this parable we find a large net, a drag net, is cast into the sea, and it says gathered every kind. And as you know, when a net is cast by the fisherman, sometimes you would see, I have seen many times because we live close to the beach, we see that the net is brought and different kinds of fish is caught there. And it says when it is full, they drew it to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. Apart from casting away the fish that cannot be taken for consumption, even the fish which is not grown up, matured, traditionally the fishermen, the small ones which could finally become big, they would throw them back to the sea so that they would grow back and come back for next time when they are caught. Immature small ones, are thrown back to the sea. And that's why it says, so shall be at the end of the world, in the time where you and I live. The angels shall come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the fiery furnace. There shall be wailing and gnashing. Now this is a very important parable. Reflect what was the status of our time, in our age. It refers to some large net which draws to the sea. In the scriptures, the sea always represents the people. You know, in the scriptures, when you see the land and the sea, the land represents the nation of Israel. The sea represents the Gentile world, where you and I are represented. There are so many countries. So when the net is cast to the Gentile world, so that you are drawing some people from the world. If the sea is the world, you are brought from the world a certain group of people which get caught to the net that is put. And at time, what is really happening here is, now the net has been already cast, and a large number of fish is caught, and not only fish, different kinds are being caught. And now the time has come for the fishermen to sit down and do a separation. Do you know the seventh church age is an age of separation? This is the time that God is separating between the right and the wrong, false and the true. His bride, that is his bride and the other people, and also the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Jesus said unto them, once we finish this parable, we find in Matthew 13, Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? Referring to these seven parables. Now he relayed these seven parables. And then he told the disciples, have ye understood all these parables? Then they said, yea, Lord. Then he said something very, very interesting. He said unto them, therefore every scribe, referring to every servant of God, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. You know, kingdom of heaven is the Jesus' kingdom on earth. And he refers to a servants of God. He says, every scribe which is instructed, that means authorized or the ordained by God, not by an organization, ordained by anointing of God, is like unto a man, a householder, is responsible, which bring forth out of his treasure the new and the old. That means a true servant of God is the one who has a treasure, who would bring forth things of new and the old, for the very purpose of revealing the mysteries of the kingdom and the truth of the word of God to the bride in that each hour. This is the last of the seven parables, and it depicts the last of the seven church ages. Christ was revealing the consummation of the gospel of the grace age. What we see here is a final great gospel revival of preaching the word of God to masses or the people around the world. You remember that we discussed the sixth age ended in 1906, and this is the very time where the seventh church age starts, 1906. This is a very significant year, this particular year.
1906.
Because you remember, one of the important things that took place in the fourth church age, when I explained to you, in the fourth church age, when the Catholic Church, which represented as a woman, who came to mighty power all over the world, the Roman Empire, and robbed the church of the bedrock of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostolic teaching. She robbed the church of the justification, just shall live by faith. Sanctification, sanctified holy living, according to the scriptures. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling, to be led by the Holy Spirit, that was robbed. In other words, that's something like same insect eating off, like the palmer worm, the caterpillar, canker worm, all eating out. And then God promised that He would restore everything that was eaten. And we remember when God began to restore things, starting from the sixth stage, when God raised a messenger called Martin Luther, who broke away from the Catholic Church, and God revealed to him the justification, just shall live by faith. So that teaching of which was robbed in the fourth church age was restored in the sixth church age. But unfortunately, this problem took place in the sixth church age, in the fifth church age. Martin Luther, fifth church age. What happened was, when Martin Luther, when he died, his followers organized religion after his name, which was not the will of God. God despised them. They organized the Lutheran church, which was not the plan or the will of God, but Luther never wanted to do that, but his followers got the teachings of Luther and started the Lutheran church, which exists even in our day today as an organized Christian church. Then we also found that God raised John Wesley once again to restore another important teaching, the sanctification. And once his ministry was over, what did their followers do? His followers also organized another church by the name of Methodist, which is also not the will of God. So you find that the same spirit of organizing a church after the teachings or after the certain aspects of the founders of those church ages was despised by God. It is not the will of God for the followers of the Luther or the followers of John Wesley to organize churches under their leaders. So we find that even in this age, there is a group of people who organize the religion after the name of the messenger. What we see here in the final great gospel revival preaching of the word of God to masses of people around the world. In the parable, the fishing net that was cast into the sea was not ordinary commonly used cast net. It was a drag net, a large fishing net. It took as many as fishermen required to drag the whole to the shore. You remember even time of Peter, when he cast the net, when Jesus, when large number of fish is caught, he has to call others to pull the net. So it is a large net. So what does it represent? On the shore, the catch was separated. When such great net is cast into the sea, it is inevitable to find every sort of creature from the sea in the net. What the Lord was looking for in casting the great net was the fishers of good stuff, the matured ones, which can be valued for money. What the Lord was looking in the kingdom of God when He cast the net, the good fish, matured fish, fish that can be sold, which can have a value for money, not the ones which has absolutely no value. The great net was cast in the early 20th century. It was so enormous that every religious sort in the sea of humanity found their way into the net. Upon shouting, spiritual fishes that were good, virtuous, valuable were gathered into the vessel. The religious bad, and such as jellyfish, crabs, turtles, sharks, octopuses, eels, were also thrown away. You know, they also were inside this net. You see, normally when you see a fish, fisherman bring that, you find, apart from the fish, you find jellyfish, which cannot be eaten, the crabs also, which is sometimes useless, the turtles, sharks, octopuses, eels, you know, but we don't eat, but I remember, if you go to Japan, they eat everything, you know. All this stuff they eat. But generally accepted fact is this fish is not eaten by humans. But today, the world, you know, people eat all these things. But what happens here is, the story is here in the parable is, all what the God was looking, the ones which can be sold, which has a traditional market, which is the fish which is matured. So what happens really, as a result of this thing what God mentioned? You find that fishermen separates the octopuses, the crabs, turtles, sharks, oils all thrown back. Even the unmatured ones, even if you have a small baby fish here, or some sort of a very, very small fish, thrown back. That's the traditional fishermen do. They'll throw back so that they will grow and get caught next time subsequently. So what happens here, this is the age of separation. God separates the good ones into the vessels, bad ones are thrown back where? To the sea. It means the world. The good ones are collected to the vessels, the bad fish is thrown back to the sea, means to the world. So this is exactly, you and I are living in that time. And that's why it says, the Lord said in Luke 3:17, whose fan, that is Lord Jesus, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with the fire unquenchable. Luke 3:17. You remember in the second parable, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. Wheat and tares referring to. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, again refer to these angels or the messengers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We know today so many bundles of various Christian organizations, denominations, has bundled themselves together. But very clearly he says there will be, these bundles would be where it will end. They will end not in the barn which belonged to the Lord. The revival under John Wesley went on for a good long while. You remember we explained last time when we discussed the sixth stage in the 19th century, before it began to decline. The movement found itself dividing into many groups. During this John's, what he started, there was many Christian groups were surfacing. There were also other movements of Christian groups throughout Europe and in America. By the end of the century, there was a hungry souls crying for more from God. This caused God to send a wave of revival at the turn of the 20th century with a great number of speaking in tongues. What happened? You remember I explained to you this scripture. Zechariah 14:6-7. It says, it shall come to pass in that day, referring to my day and your day where we are living in. In that day that refers to, that the light shall not be clear, no dark, but it shall be a day which shall be known to the Lord, not a day, not a night, but it shall come to pass at the evening time it shall be light.
Evening time it shall be light. Now we are living in second thousand years of the 2000. First thousand years was finished and we are in the last second of the 2000. Of this 2000 we are in the last of the 100. 19 centuries have gone. 19 centuries have already gone. We are in the last 100. And this time is refers the evening time.
You know, this time in the last century is refers to the evening time. You see, in the sight of God,
Bible says, one day is 1000 years. The Lord says, one day the Lord is 1000 years, one day. So this is the first day, this is the second day. So we are in the second day and we are in the evening time. This is the evening time in the second day because we are almost completed 1000 years. That last 100 years refers to the evening time that you and I are living in.
What does it say? But it shall come to pass at the evening time there shall be light. And that light is not to this world, its light is to lighten up the bride of Christ. What happened really is
in the year 1906, as I told you, the very important year, God for the Holy Spirit.
You remember fifth stage, God restored the justification. The sixth stage, He has restored the sanctification which was lost. Now God has to restore another important teaching and fill the people with the Holy Spirit. So in 1906, there is a place called Azusa Street in the United States of America. It was the beginning of Christ's final ministry to gather Himself and an end-time group of true worshippers before His return. In this revival, various spiritual gifts of God, prophecies, faith, miracles, divine healing and others were being poured upon the believers. During this age, this group of people, like, you know, there was a group of people like this meeting in a place in Azusa Street, praying and seeking the Lord, asking the Lord to reveal many things. And then God began to pour the Holy Spirit upon these people. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the true worshippers, as they sought more from God, they not only spoke in tongues, but received the revelation of one true God and His redemptive name in water baptism. Like true worshippers of that on that day, Pentecost, they had no difficulty in accepting the truth. They all turned away from the false and the pagan doctrines of the Holy Trinity of God to be true doctrine of one God. This is the place. This place, which is the place where a group of black American people were gathered in this place in the year 1906. This is one of the newspapers that at that time mentioned here. It says the Pentecost has come, Los Angeles being visited by a revival of Bible salvation, and the Pentecost as recorded in the book of Acts. Exactly like in the day of Pentecost, this was published in one of the newspapers. This was a man which is called William J. Seymour, a black African American, and a group of about 10-15 people gathered in a like an upper house in the day of Pentecost in the Acts chapter 2. And this man was the man who was leading that, and God filled that place with the Holy Spirit. And God filled the Holy Spirit, and there was like fire, and people start prophesying, and the miracles began to take place in this place. So this is a picture which I copied from a publication. In that time, soon after this happened, you know, it says the Asusa street, the fire of God came upon this place. This is the initial group of people. They were meeting like this. And when the Holy Spirit poured the fire of the Holy Spirit upon these people, and this is what reported in the Los Angeles Daily Times on Wednesday morning, April 18, 1906. And it says, weird babble of tongues, a new sect of fanatics is breaking loose. While scenes last night on Azusa Street. So what happens is, it is reported even in the press at that day about this act that took place. You want to know more about it? You just go to the internet, type Azusa Street revival. You have so many information about this revival that took place. It was just like in absolute nature and the character of this revival, it was like the same experience on the upper room in the disciples had. And when this happens, it was reported in a normal worldly newspaper like Los Angeles Times. And not only it was reported, the news carried very fast. And when news carried very fast, many people came there, like in the day of Pentecost. When they heard the power of God, when these people began to preach, what happened was, many people began to become converts. And this is what happened in the United States of America. And then this message went right across to other parts of the states in the United States. What was started in the Azusa Street in the 1906 began to move into all the other parts of the United States of America. There are so many different states. Now this fire is catching them and it is spreading. So this is the beginning of this great gospel net that began in this year, began to spread to all the parts of USA, Europe, Asia, Africa. Now all over the world, now the gospel message is moving as a result of what started here. God was raising missionaries in the United States to go to Africa, Asia, Europe. And the net is beginning to spread, the gospel net. Until that time, though John Wesley, Martin Luther, they had their ministries in their respective areas in Europe. But they never ventured out into other parts of the world. And as a result of what started in 1906, it covered the entire United States of America, where God raised more and more men with the anointing, filling them with the Holy Spirit, and they move right across the states, and from there to the other parts of the world. And now from 1906 up until this time, 100 years have gone, the net of the gospel has been poured. Because Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached all over the world as a witness. That doesn't mean everybody in this world is going to receive this gospel. It is the gospel is going to be preached all over the world as a witness. So already what happened in 1906, and in this place, in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, now this was spreading. And there are more and more people was now following this. And this is the beginning of the Pentecostal movement. This is the beginning of the Pentecostal movement in America. This is the during this time only. There are so many churches like Assemblies of God started, Pilgrim Holiness, Assemblies of God, they broke into two on a doctrinal ground. One group believe in the Trinity, other group believe in oneness. So the oneness group broke away from Assemblies of God and started United Pentecostals. United Pentecostals believe in the oneness of God even today. I think there is a branch here in somewhere in Mount Lavinia. They believe in oneness and they will baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are still in error. I am not saying they are right. They are still in error because their revelation is wrong. So, Assemblies of God split into two. One is United Pentecostals, other one is Assemblies of God who stuck to their teachings of the Catholic Church of the Holy Trinity. Then the Foursquare, or whatever, all these new churches, Pilgrim Holiness, all began to surface during this period. And it is during this period that God raised many missionaries with a passion to go right across the world, even to countries like Africa, America, South America. So we are living in the age where we do not see the separation of, we not only see the separation of the tares, false seed from the wheat, true seeds, but also gathering of the good, true elect who are beautiful, virtuous, valuable in God's eyes, for they conform to the word of God. How do you understand the true seed or the wheat? The true seed is correct of the maize. They are beautiful, virtuous and valuable in God's eyes because they conform to the word of God. That's the criteria. If you want to be a true seed, they conform to the word of God. When you conform to the word of God, the fruits of the Spirit would be, fruits of the Holy Spirit would be virtually visible in the life of you. Then the throwing away of the bad ones, the make-believers who are rotten and worthless, they do not conform to the word. Now, as I told you, before we coming to the book of Revelation, there was very strong and a powerful movement of people right across carrying the gospel. And it took place in the last 100 years. During the last 100 years, as a result of this great evangelism that took place through the Pentecostal movement, through various ministers that God raised, the large number of fish is caught in the last 100 years. Large number of fish. But the net consists of crabs, turtles, all the other weird stuff as well. So what the Lord is doing right now is identifying the group which belongs to Him, who are beautiful in the sight of Him, who are virtuous and who are valuable, who conform to the word of God. And also who are not matured goes back to the world. They are gone back. Because if you are not matured, you cannot handle this world. That's why Paul says, you still drink milk. Having said all these things, you still drink milk, so you cannot handle the word. So the immature ones are thrown back to the world. Okay, you learn and come. By that time the door is closed. You remember what happened to the foolish virgins? They said, where is the oil? You go and buy from the merchants. I will explain to you the impact of the seventh, that parable of wise and foolish virgins. While the wise virgins are gone to be with the Lord, and they are, the Lord is revealing Himself, you know, as I told you, I will explain to you that some time ago I told about the chupa. Chupa is where in a marriage take place, in the Middle Eastern customs, the bridegroom comes to the bride's house, and there's merry making takes place, while all the function is over, the bridegroom and the bride is in the chupa, a separate place which is reserved only for them. But the merrymaking goes in the house. They are dancing, they are singing, they are enjoying, they are eating. But where? The bride and the bridegroom in the chupa, which is the place which is reserved for them. What is happening there? The bridegroom is revealing himself to the bride, and the bride also revealing her virtues, her pureness, her goodness to the bridegroom. And that is exactly taking place right now in this place, in this seventh church age, while the merrymaking taking place in the so-called organized Christian religion. They are dancing, they are singing, they are eating, they are doing all these things. But then God has moved out. Like disciples, you remember Jesus always called the disciple to a place, quiet place, and begin to expound things. In the same way, today, now we know God has separated a group of people to hear the truth, hear the mystery of the kingdom. And that's exactly what is happening in your midst, in our midst, right here. Because you go and tell all these things to somebody, they will say, like in the day of Jesus, original sin. Eve has sex with the serpent. My goodness, they will say, Eve have a relationship with a devil. No, there is nothing like that. Nobody mentioned that Eve had a relationship with the devil. Serpent. Now you mentioned that. My goodness, don't touch it. Who said that? Don't ever go to that place. This is a cult. These are wrong doctrines. This teaching is not of God. So then you have to ask to explain some of these things. I have come across many Christians who have said this is wrong. But I have told them, explain to me. I am willing to listen to you. You explain to me what this is. You explain to me why Jesus had to shed blood. Why something else could have been done. Why was it required? Why was this, or what was the original sin? What happened to that apple tree? Where is it there? Why, what is the living soul? Nobody ever took time to explain. But what would they do? They said, don't associate with these people. Don't go there. Don't listen to this. This is exactly what they did in the time of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, you blind, you also, not only you don't see, you don't allow others to see. You close the kingdom. They close the kingdom of God to people. Even it is happening in our time. And I know some of the brothers and sisters who have come here before, who have heard this message, has gone and shared this with their pastors and their teachers, and they have said, my goodness, don't ever go there. It is not in the Bible even, you know. So that they have naturally fallen off. I am not upset about it, but I am only sorry for them, because they have had an opportunity of listening to the truth, and halfway they have fallen off when they did not have the strength to understand, because they are not mature enough. So naturally, in the midst of us, there will be a separation. God will always do that, because He only wants the ones whom He has chosen before the foundation. Nothing else. He wants only those people. He will not accept anything short, less than that. And that is why He said all the time, be perfect. You find in the scriptures, Jesus said, Paul said, everybody said, be perfect, like your Father. Now we have to be perfect. If we said perfect, we have to be perfect. If we told us to be holy, we have to be holy. We cannot compromise that. There's no way that we can stand, you know, just a little, 99% is okay. No. Even today, worldly people do not accept 99%. They want 100% perfection. So, how the Lord is. So this is the age of separation. God is separating. That's what I say sometimes. It is not everybody that God has given opportunity to listen to this truth. Somebody recently asked me, I asked about this the floods, why the floods came. Who are these sons of God? They are angels. They are angels who came and had relationship with human beings. Then I showed him and says, you know, the Bible says the angels does not marry, nor have no relationship. What do you say? That with that he went off. The Bible says, very scripture, if you stand for a doctrine, there has to be agree with one another. You know, there has to be agreeing. There are two things have to be agreed. You can't make a doctrine out of one teaching, one scripture. It has to tally with everything what God said. So like that we know there are many people who have heard this truth halfway and fallen off, even from this fellowship, who some other people who have come. But the good ones, they have a hunger, they have a thirst, they have a genuine desire to know the truth, because they know every time they know the truth shall set them free from all falsehood, all errors, and everything which is not of. And once that is done, their life will match the expectations of the Lord, the character and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you many times, the purpose of teaching these things is not to show that we know everything. No, not for that purpose. The purpose of teaching this truth is very purpose, what I said, what is happening in the chupa. In the chupa, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, start with the word, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with the very words in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the bride has to be revealed. Because when you don't know God properly, whether he is three persons, one person or two persons, then there is a confusion. You don't know how to worship him. You don't know how to follow him. Whether you are going to pray to the Father or to the Son or the Holy Spirit, you don't know that. So if there is a confusion, then you need to be under. You need to have the correction. So that is the very reason that when we come here, we present this truth for the purely revealing the truth. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from what? Falsehood. The lie. All those things like that. And then when we understand that, then you bring your life to match the word. So in the chupa, what happens here? In the chupa, the Lord reveals. So what happens here is, the mystery of God will be revealed in the chupa by the Lord. So the mystery, what is recorded in the word of God, has to be revealed. You know, generally what we do is, every Sunday morning when we meet, we take a passage, and every one of, we have a small group, we read. And today, we read something, portion from Ezekiel chapter 40. And the brother who read that says, maybe the Lord should reveal this to us. But the revelation is already there. It talks about the temple of God. You see, when he made the temple, he gave the right measurements. Everything is measured. Windows, the doors, the every porch, all these things are measured. He said the porch is like this, windows are like that. So it is in the same way, when the Lord sees the bride, because God has given the blueprint of the bride. God has given the blueprint of the bride to the Lord. Bridegroom, he had the blueprint. So when he sees the bride, he has the blueprint how the bride should look. So when he sees the chupa, he wants to see whether it matches the blueprint. So when the Lord, the Lord takes the initiative, he takes the initiative to reveal himself, who he is. And in this book, if somebody says, you don't need to know everything, he's lying. This Bible is given. The Bible says, the holy men, inspired by God, anointed by him, has written these things for what? For me and for you. That means from word Genesis in the beginning to the last word is important to you. Even every word that is in the book of Deuteronomy, book of Numbers, book of Leviticus is as significant to you. We will explain all these things to you sometimes when God permits us times. If somebody says, don't study the revelation, it is not for this age. You know, there are churches that say like that. But It is all for our consumption. The Bible says, Jesus told in the Matthew 24, when he asked about the end times, Jesus, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles are. That's what it is written. Carcass means the living word. Wherever the living word is, there the eagles are. So in the chupa, the bridegroom reveals to you. And that is exactly what is happening in this age. The Lord is revealing himself fully. And in the same time, it is two-way process. The bride also will have to reveal her stature. Bride has to reveal that she is beautiful, she is virtuous, she is valuable, and that is a requirement. Sometimes, you see, God is still keeping the door open. Like in the days of Noah, God told Noah, okay, keep this door open until I tell you to close. So God is still keeping the day open for me, because still there are lapses in my side, in your side, in the flesh. There are still, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit take full control of your life and my life. We are still have the fleshly things have a rule in our life. The flesh rules in us. That is why sometimes we spend a lot of our time unnecessarily wasting in various unnecessary talk which satisfy our flesh. Let's go back to in the book of Revelation, what is the reference in the Laodicean churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith, the faithful and true witness. Now you remember, as I told you, here the Lord is revealing his character. We are not faithful to him sometimes, but he is faithful. You remember the three wise men who came from the east? God showed him the sign of the sky that the Messiah is born. They were in the east, and they were traveling for 2 years from the east to Middle East to Jerusalem to see the Messiah. That time there were no aeroplanes or the ships or motor vehicles. They were traveling in camels. How long they were traveling? They were traveling for 2 years. So in December comes, when you see that, you know, wise men are there at the feet of Jesus as an infant, that is wrong. That is a lie. The Bible says very clearly, when they came, he was a young child. So when you see various Christian organizations have made these things, and wise men also there, when Jesus was born, it's not correct. Bible says it is not correct, it is right. Because wise men came when he was a young child. It took 2 years, because when Herod asked the wise men, when did this star appear, they said it is on Saturday. So then he killed all the children under 2 years. Every child under 2 years was killed by Herod to kill the Lord, kill Jesus. So what happens is what happened for 2 years, the Lord was faithful to them. How did he was faithful? He was guiding them, that the star was leading them every day of the 2 years. Nearly 700 days. Every day they were traveling in the night. Therefore there was a star. But when they came to Jerusalem, they thought, okay, a king should be born in a palace. They thought, they took the eye from the star and went into the King Herod's palace. They gave the opportunity for their flesh to determine where the Lord should be. And they were stuck inside King Herod's palace for some time. But the Bible says when they came out, the star was there as they came out. So star was very faithful. And finally the star led to the Lord in that place. So the Lord always faithful. He is faithful. It is me and you sometimes not faithful to him. He is a true witness. Jesus said, my witness is true. He always said to the people, I bear the witness of the Father, and my witness is true, he said. It's not a false witness. It's not a false witness. He bear the truth. He bear the witness of the Father. And so, he says even here in this church age, in our church age, he says that what he stands for, his witness is true. As in the beginning of the creation of God. And then here, very, very profoundly he says, I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. In this age, a people are lukewarm. Who? The church is very lukewarm. You know why they are lukewarm? You see, they are lukewarm because nearly 100 years since the Lord, when the Lord poured the Holy Spirit, in this period, in 1906, they thought the Lord is going to come within about 5-6 years time. If you look at some of the songs that we sing, sometimes they have put the author of those songs, and the period in which they are written, sometimes it goes back to this period, between 1930 to 1906. Because some of the songs are referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? O Lord my God. It refers to even the song that we sang, Blessed Assurance. All this refers, you find a verse which depicts the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are waiting for the coming. And what happens is, you wait for 5 years, the Lord is not coming. 10 years, he is not coming. 30 years, 1930s, he is not coming. 1950s, he did not come. So when it came to 2000, people thought, Lord is going to come. This is the millennium. Till 2001, he is not there. 2002, he is not there. 2003, he is not there. You remember there's a parable, the Lord said, there was a servant who says, the Lord delayed his coming. Now the Lord delayed his coming. He is not coming. So let us be very relaxed. Let's not really, you know, let's get going with our business. Do all these things. Let's plan those things. And I think that is the condition of the church in this time. They are very relaxed. You remember, I've been to some of these Pentecostal denominational churches in this country. I've been associated with some of those pastors and some of the people. But I know, you go to those places, they are very lukewarm places. Those places, they only worried about the numbers. They only worried about the numbers, head count. They want 500, 600 or 1000 people because they know that they are important for their income. But what happens is the programs and things that are taking place is very cold. It's not hot. What happens is it's neither cold nor hot. So because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. I think this condition should not be in myself, in yourself. You know, you and I have to fight this lukewarm attitude in our lives, spiritually speaking. Spiritually, we need to be all the time hot on the Lord, not lukewarm. Make sure that, you know, never allow anything to creep in and make you lukewarm. That emotional love between you and God should be always strong. There should not be anything coming between that make you lukewarm and, you know, take things for granted. Because it says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Out of where? His mouth. Why did he say out of his mouth? Because he will throw them. He will not take that. Because he refers to a glass of water. The church in this age, he refers to water. It is neither hot nor cold. If it is hot, it is alright. If it is cold, it is alright. But it is neither. Because when you really go to a situation, say, supposing you are in a very, very hot tropical climate like we have, during the daytime you go and have a hot, you need to have a very cool glass of water. And in the same time, if you are in a very cold country like England or some other country, in cold time, winter time, what do you need? All the time you need not ice cream, you need hot chocolate or something like a very warm thing to eat, drink. That is what will strengthen your body. So what happens is, here is the time, now the Lord is waiting the bride-to-be. He was looking for the bride which can satisfy the Lord. Bride has to satisfy the Lord. Isn't that true? That's the case. The bride will have to always satisfy the bridegroom. So with the Lord, we who are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ have to be satisfied. So we have to be in the condition where we are. We cannot be allowed lukewarm. He's thrown out. It's no use. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Now he's telling the church. Because thou say, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing. This is what they are saying. You know, we are very well, all right. We have branches here. We have a number of churches in this place. We have a headquarters here. We have this church. We have about 150 branches. We are doing this. We are having a women's program, men's program, children's programs. We are having all these various things that are going. We are very well off. We are very rich. That's what the church is saying, you know. Very often those pastors go to different countries. Or even say, I have so many. I have a congregation of 5,000 people. I have men's fellowship. I have women's fellowship. I have this, that and all. But Jesus says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You see, the gold. What did he say? I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You know, the gold that you are and I are wearer, when people in this gold, this ring or whatever the chain you wear, this is not pure gold. There is some thing added to this, that's why it becomes solid. It's a gold in the purest form, very liquid. It cannot be, it's not hard. Gold, once it is put into a furnace and really take away all the pure impure things is taken out, it is not hard. It is always like melting. It cannot be kind of, you know, put into something like that. So you need to mix with some sort of iron or copper or something like that to make it like this. So this is not pure gold. But he says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire. That is why he says, anything that is sugar-coated here is not acceptable to God. You have to take this word which is tried, which is like gold, which is taken away all the impure stuff. That is why when God resists all the time, when the formation of various organized religion, he said he left that place. When Martin Luther organized, he left. When John Wesley organized himself, he left. So with these Pentecostals, when the Pentecostals organize themselves, God leaves that place. He wants the pure, undefiled, without anything that is added. And thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye lids, that thou may see. See what the Lord is telling to this age. He is saying that, you know, we need to take this unadulterated, pure word with absolute revelation. The Bible says the letter killeth. Yes. A lot of people take this Bible and they do various things. They preach, they do all these things. I'm not against that. Karl Marx also, as I told you last Sunday, in this age, in this our age, Karl Marx also took this Bible, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and started the communism. So it is with so many people who take this. add something and make it something different. But what happens is, God was unadulterated pure word. In the same way, God wants in my life and in your life a pure, unadulterated character of the Lord Jesus Christ come. What is going to happen in the chupa? He will not, we should not leave room for the Lord to tell, you see, something is lacking. You see, what happened to Jacob? You know, Jacob, he loved Rebecca. But, you know, father did a trick. You know, he gave the elder sister, you know, not so beautiful like Rebecca. I think the Lord is not going to get caught to that. The law, Bible says, Lord, you know, we find every age. He says, I know thy works. You remember every age. He said, I know thy works. So Lord is not going to get caught like Jacob. Get caught to Leah, who is not so beautiful as Rachel. Because the Lord is going to find it out. So you have to make sure, I have to make sure that my impure qualities have to be dispelled, get rid of it. I still have, I'm sure all of us have. When we walk in this world, we have so many things. I was sharing this morning, you know, sometimes without your knowledge, you get into some problems. So, I mean, I was talking about the truth, because Jesus said, looking at the armor, he said, let your girded be the truth. That's important. In Ephesians says, like the helmet of salvation, let your girded be the truth. Sometimes, without your knowledge, you tell lies. Something happened recently. I was in a conference with our regional managers and the branch managers, with my managing director. And while we were discussing, he turned to me and says, you see, how many number of accounts, customers or accounts we have. And at that time, it was puzzling to me. I was not very sure whether it's 1 million or 3 million. But I didn't want to say that I am not sure, because I knew that he will find fault with me. You being a DGM doesn't know how many accounts in this bank. In the same time, I didn't want to feel shameful in front of managers that I didn't know this important statistics. So I said 3 million. And I knew, as I said, I was bit concerned whether I said the correct thing. You know? And it worries me every time. Because it may not be 3 million, it may be 1 million. It may be 2 million. But I should have definitely said, I'm not sure. And I just said something, if I said that, of course, he would definitely feel, okay, he should have known that, people also would feel. But it is better to tell the truth than tell something which, you know, later, I said this example, which happened to me, it happens to all of us every day. I'm sure it happens to you, it happens to everybody. Now, it happened to me. I didn't want to tell. I mean, sometimes the lie doesn't come. You don't tell a lie very, you profound lies. But the lies doesn't happen sometimes in different ways. You are put into various situation, you without your knowledge, it comes. If you have little time to think, you won't let it come. So I just said, mainly because of the fact I was thinking two things. What worried me was, if I tell him, I don't know, I'm not sure, then, you know, I'll have a problem. So I said 3 million, straight away. But I think, I doubt whether it's correct thing. But I knew it is, it happened to me. I immediately realized something happened. I'm sure that these things happens to you and me every day. But that's why I immediately realized, the Lord, you know, that's why we are in this love, that's why you are delayed. That still I have some things to correct myself. Still some more things in my life that need to put it right. Still there are sort weaknesses, shortcomings, which I don't. Because he said that take the shield of faith. Isn't it? So what happens is, the shield of faith is, if I had the shield of faith, I'm not worried about telling the truth and say I don't know. Because even if we get think that, okay, this man should have known, the impact would have been not much, because I would have had the faith. I did not have the faith of Shiva at that moment. So that is why he says, always make sure that you have the entire arms, armory of that God has given. So I'm sure this happens to you and me every day. That is why you need to really, particularly for us who are meeting people in the world, it's a challenge. But God is faithful. He is faithful. We are not faithful to Him. He is faithful. His standards are very high. He never let down His standard. He never, you know, like if you jump, high jump in Olympics, if you don't count, they reduce one inch. He will not do that. He has laid it. That's it. Either you achieve it or you go home. That's what He said. If you are not, you are thrown back to the sea. It's a separation. You are thrown back. You grow and come back. He told the wise virgins, you don't have. Now they are with the full oil merchants. So He counseled to buy a gold tried in fire. He wants us to be rich in what God was given to us, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You know, the shame of thy nakedness is what I shared this experience. I was feeling very naked. Having said that, I found myself naked because I think even that little thing made me feel naked. By saying that 3 million, it shouldn't have been, it may be wrong figure. But later when I realized, my goodness, when my managers knew that it's not 3 million, it's 1 million or 2 million, I'm naked. When the managing director knows it's similar, he's looking, this man told her, you know. So that's what the Lord says. Make sure there is no room for somebody to make you naked and put you to shame, because the Lord, He is given that. Not to be like that, but to overcome it. And to anoint thy eyes with eye slaves that we may see. Now wonderfully God has given this to us. I had a hunger and thirst for the word of God from the time I came to know the Lord. It didn't matter anything, but I have a hunger and thirst for the word. And I did not stand for people. I never believed on the individual personalities. I never trust on human leadership. I always trust on the Holy Spirit. There are good people that God has given to us in the fellowship, because God has raised prophet, apostles, pastors, teachers, but they are all human beings. They can make mistakes. They can fall short. It is only Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. But Paul also could have been their weaknesses. That is why people accuse him of anything. I'm not saying Paul did anything wrong, but Peter did. But what I'm saying is, Paul came to a state and he could say, I have fought a good fight. Because he has reached that status. I have fought a good fight. That means he has overcome. If you look at the life of Paul, and now wait for crown for me, he was very clear about it. Paul was very clear that there is a crown for him. And you and I have to make sure, you have to make sure that there is a crown. Brothers and sisters, we cannot expect justice from this world. Because this world is full of crookedness, full of wickedness, full of greed, full of jealousy. You cannot expect justice. But what you can do is you can give justice to people. You can give. Don't expect justice, but give justice. Don't expect the people to tell you the truth, but you tell the truth. Don't expect people to be fair, but you be fair. Don't expect people to be not to be jealous, but you don't be jealous. Don't expect people to be envy, but you don't be. That's what the Lord expects. And when we do that, our nakedness is covered. The raiment that God has given to us. That's what the Lord expects in this hour, in this day, in our church age. But as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And be zealous therefore and repent. You know, the Lord says, as many as I love, I chasten, I rebuke. And I know many times in my life, I've been chastened by the Lord. I've fallen short, I've come short of expectations of God. I've failed many times, but the Lord has chastened me. I know the Lord has lifted me by His hand every time because He loved me. Not that I was perfect in everything. Many times, many places, I've fallen short of God's expectations. But God, because He loved, He chastened. So don't worry if God chastens us. That is because He loves us. That is because He wants us to understand something. Be zealous therefore and repent. And says, behold, I stand and the knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and into him and sup with him and he with me. He says, behold, I stand at the door. Remember, when you say the door is very important, Jesus say, I am the door. I am the good shepherd, I am the door. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And also you remember, in the parable of the wise virgins and foolish virgins, the door was closed. The door was closed and they said, open. He says, depart from me, workers of, depart from me, I don't know you. Here, in this age, Lord is outside. He's not inside. He's not inside the so-called Christian churches. He's not there. He's outside. And He's calling the individuals. And He's knocking the heart of individuals. And He's saying, if any man hear my voice. You remember, Jesus said in John, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Yes. And a stranger they will not follow. You know, today there are so many strange voices. Strangers calling people unto this, that and the other thing. But the true sheep, the true children of God, will hear the voice of the Lord. Same with me, in 1976 I heard the voice of God. In 1981 when God spoke to me about this truth, I heard it. And I count it. There is nothing to lose than this. And when you hear His voice, Paul says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Like in the day of provocation, like children of Israel. You know the problem of children of Israel? They could not hear Him. They could not understand. They heard Him, and after some they forgot what God told them. And they went and did wrong thing all the time. You see, hearing the voice of God is a continuous thing. One of the reasons what we are different is because Jesus overcame death, hell and sickness. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid the penalty for me and for you, for my transgression which came down from Adam and Eve. Therefore, right now when Jesus paid the death penalty for me and you, otherwise we are destined to die the second death. So He paid the penalty of death and He rose from the dead. And therefore today, His true children have only two possibilities. He says, dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive shall be changed in a moment. That is going to happen to the bride of Christ. But the second thing He overcame is hell. When He went to the bottom of the earth, release all the Old Testament saints, and they walk into the Holy City, New Jerusalem, and the sixth paradise. Sixth dimension. And today, because you are saved, because you are redeemed, you and I are seated in the heavenly places, Bible says. So, the hell has no hold on you. If you are seated in the heavenly places, you should be able to hear the voice of God. One of the key ingredients, key aspects, say that you are seated in the heavenly places, like you are seated here in this audience. You are hearing this voice here. But what I want to tell you is, you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One of the things that will happen, if you are seated in the heavenly places, is you can hear His voice. Not once a month, not once a week, not once a day, continuously. You can hear Him. He will tell you what to do. Because God is a living God. the speaking God. He hears you. So you are seated in the heavenly place, you can hear His voice. God speaks to you. God tells various things what you should do. And also you can, He can hear your voice. He can hear you, what you say to the Lord. Not only that, you can see the things of the kingdom. If you are seated in the heavenly places, you can see the things of the kingdom. You would see what is the fall of Adam. What is the original sin? What is the sin of Ham? What happened in the Noah's day? What happens in the church ages? You begin to see. If you are seated in heavenly places, if you are not, then you won't see. He says, hear my voice, open the door, and I will come with him, come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. This is exactly I was telling in the chupa what is happens. I will sup with him, he with me. There is something that takes place between Lord and me. To him that overcome, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. That's the promise. Don't be worried about injustice that is taking place in this world. Don't be worried about the crookedness and the wickedness and the greediness in this world. The day will come, brothers and sisters, where you and I, if we are part of the bride of Christ, going to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years, where you would be executing righteousness. There won't be opportunity for greed, corruption, wickedness. There won't be anything like that. Because you and I would be executing with the Lord the righteous reign and rule for 1,000 years in this very world. Where you can make sure that you give to this world what the world is expecting. The peace, the joy and the happiness. It will come only from the Lord. Let's pray. As we spend a few moments before the Lord, I'll ask Brother Ravi to come here to take up the needs. We just opened the understanding of the seven church ages. Next Sunday, I will explain to you about the messenger of the church age. The messenger who brought the message, I will explain to you. And what I want to tell you this morning, this evening, the Lord expects high standards from me, you. He speaks to you, and today if we hear His voice, harden not His heart.